Hey, what's going on, man? How you guys doing? Welcome, welcome, welcome to Recruiting 101 with your boy, the Deacon, or Coach DJ, Director of Recruiting with California Recruits. Today, I love it. We are going to talk about the final stretch for the 2023 class. More than anything, hey, the truth, where we are in recruiting. I am going to solicit that you go get friends, family members, whoever you need to get on this particular broadcast, because I am going to be as candid and direct as I probably have ever been, probably because I'm disturbed a little bit by the constant lies and stuff that go on that goes on with a lot of the kids in the whole recruiting process, and what's happening. Couple of things that I'm seeing a number of kids, a number of student athletes who are quitting, not playing anymore. They're upset by the fact that one of the things that we have with my company and we talk about all the time, our number one goal is to manage the expectation of these young people. And there's some things that we're going to go over today that are going to sound real, that are going to be very contrary to popular opinion, street opinion on what's going on in the recruiting world. If you are a parent, if you're somebody that is watching for your young people, at times today, I may sound like the recruiter that's trying to help and get you to sign up with a company so I can help you. And at other times, I'm going to sound like the pastor and father who is just tired of the lack of information that when you say you want to help somebody, that is being given to a lot of people. I am asking those for the first time, I usually don't even bring it up, that if you could share, this information, as well as, you know, it's being recorded, so I'll put it up again. But I want to definitely make sure that you guys understand. I'm not coming from a place of maliciousness or being upset with any particular family or anybody, but just the recruiting world. So have seven topics with question and answers in there. So I want to talk to first the 2023 recruiting class. The hard, honest truth. D1 right now, sitting at November, where are we at? The 9th. For you, if you have not gotten a Division I offer, if you have not been on the phone over the last few months with Division I coaches, is a long shot. Let me say that again. It is a long shot. And it is a very long shot in the sense that I have for the last few weeks gone over the fact that the transfer portal is going to change the scope of what's going on with recruiting, okay? This year, it's only open for 45 days in the fall here, coming up in December, and then it'll close, and then it's only open for 15 days. What does that mean for a high school student athlete? That means that as of right now, if you were somebody that got an offer in the summer and you are trying to wait and you kind of messing around with coaches and kind of waiting and playing the game, if you're not a three-star, top three-star, four-star, five-star guy, you really don't have that option. You need to really hone in on what your reason and goal is for wanting to go to school and make a decision. Because once the portal opens, there are a lot of top players that are going to get picked out of that portal first. Yeah, they need to know. Number one team in the country right now. So you need to understand that. If you are a athlete that didn't, you just got some buzz, some follows, maybe a few edits on Facebook, on Twitter, and coaches talk to you and they haven't talked to you in a while, you need to reevaluate your recruiting at this point and reevaluate it from this. I want to talk about it from this perspective. Do you love or do you like the game? Because if you like the game, you're trying to pick and choose where you want to play. If you can, if you want to play, you don't know if you want to go to Kansas or Oregon or Montana. You don't know if you want to play NAIA. And here's the biggest detriment we have in our society, sports society right now. Most of you guys are picking schools based upon logos, divisions, and what you think is higher than the next. And I'm gonna give you some real strong examples of, you know, and I'm on Twitter. I want the coaches that are at these schools to understand this because they play a part in this as well. I have three student athletes that are at Fort Lewis College in Colorado, Division II school. They are 0-10. They have been 0-10 for the last 2 years, which means they are 0-20. They have not won a game. It is a Division II school. If your only reason, your reason to go to that school, and it, the only reason is to because it's Division II and you like losing, understand that that school has not won a game in 20 tries. Durango is a very nice place in the spring and summer. It's nice. But when it gets cold and you lose in 20 games, 10 games, it's not a great place to be. So when you're making a decision, it cannot be on a logo or a division. You have to understand the whole scope of it. And I try to share this. Parents, you're, oh, well, he can, and it's a D2. Is it a D2? Yeah, he'll go D. There's some D2s that on the lower level D2 that are not better than the top level NAIA school. And you're going to get more, you may get more money. You got to weigh these things the right way. We're not weighing them. And this is why having a recruiting service and working with somebody that's going to tell you the truth is very important. Those three kids, I let them know, tough school. Coach just got there. He's got to do some recruiting. I have watched the recruiting this year. They have not put out one offer. They're 0-10. They should have 40 offers out trying to get guys. Nope, they're recruiting like I talked to the coach last week, like they're Alabama. Oh, we're gonna evaluate. Your evaluation's not doing really well, coach. You're 0-20, 2 years, 0-10 this year. I don't know how much evaluating you're really doing. But for me as a recruiting service and talking to a parent, if I laid that school down in front of another NAIA school in Kansas and your only reason is, well, yeah, it's Division II, doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean that your kid is going to have a better opportunity at his goal of making it to the league over another kid at an NAIA school or a school with a kid winning five more games. It doesn't. We got to have real conversations about what your kid wants. And one of the things is that I'm noticing is that when I'm having conversations with parents and student athletes about what they want and the direction they want to go in and what it is that they want out of a school and painting the picture that, have you thought about if you don't make it to the NFL, what does that look like? And a kid looks at you with his parents and go, I don't know. We haven't done our job. We have not sat down and had a real conversation about here's the reality. Here's the numbers. Right? What do you want to major in? This is the likelihood of you, I'm not killing your dream. I'm not here to kill it. I'm here to manage the expectation and help with that process. I should have 60 people on here, 600 people, because I run into kids and parents every day. Everybody thinks they're going D1. They're not. You put out the numbers, 1.4%, 1.6% are the only amount of kids in the United States that are going to get a Division I scholarship. We round it up to 2%, but it's really 1.6%. Then we're not having the right conversations. We're not putting people in the right place. I'm purposely not going on and talked about NCSA, but I keep running into my clients, new clients that are signed up with NCSA. Parents do not know how to work a CRM system. They're not having personal assistance or personal conversations with their recruiter about the direction they want to go and what it is. Everything is just, I want to go D1. Can't be that. Cannot just be that. Or your kid is going to be left behind. So if you are at 2023, I'm talking to you right now, as of right now, you need to realize if you love the game, you'll play the game anywhere. If you love the game and you understand that that the process of what you want to do is going to take you to be able to play a game that you love for absolutely for a percentage or maybe even free at a Division II or NAIA or Division III school that's going to give you some money is a blessing. And if you don't get that, you missed it. Because the percentages after you don't do that, they go down lower and lower and lower. You guys, we're not watching 30, 40 kids, 50 kids right now with offers from junior colleges even in California right now. It's not happening. National junior colleges that play on the national level, schools like Independence in Kansas and schools you saw on Last Chance U, those guys are getting first dibs at Division I schools. They're bounce backs. Those schools are in the South. Players are bigger, stronger. They have a different look. California decided not to be a national on the national stage. It has its own stage, the state playoffs and all of that. We do get kids, but at the end of the day, we're not getting the same amount of we're not getting the same amount of recruiting. The kids are not getting offers like that out of JC. So what am I saying? Reevaluate your recruiting where you are. If you're 23, use the NAIA school as your junior college. Use the Division II, and an NAIA school, you can go for 4 years and get your degree. It's not go to NAIA school to transfer to a Division I school. There's no portal in NAIA. If you decide to transfer, you just transfer. But if they didn't get you out of high school and you think you're going to go to NAIA and jump back to D1, you have to be an NAIA All-American. Your body has to change. There's a lot of work that has to go into it. But because we're not managing that expectation, we have a ton of parents and people who are telling kids, don't do that. Go to JC. JC, the same thing. I got kids here who went JC. They gray shirted this year. So they're clocked, so they wouldn't start their clock. Then you got kids that's red shirting. Then you got kids that are actually losing a year because they're on the roster playing special teams at junior college. And the portal's not going anywhere. And so you got to know what you're up against. And that's just giving you, the real. Every kid. And let's be honest. My number two thing. Let's be honest. Every kid is not.
And that's just giving you, the real.
Every kid is not Division One.
Let's be honest.
It's not Division One. And it's okay. If you have a service, brothers that's out there, because I'm about to be the Charleston White of the recruiting world now. I got some stuff to talk about today that it might hurt some people's feelings. And I'm going to be the Charleston White of the recruiting world now. Yeah, I'm not. So he a snitch. No, it's not about being a snitch. It's about just being real about where it is so we can deal with it, because it's funny how you can try to have a credible service, tell people the truth, and people would rather, here I'm going to start sounding like the pastor, would rather believe a lie than the truth because a lie feels better. Every one of you parents that have bought offers, there's a real signing day. It's coming up. And you can't do anything with the bought offer that you have. But when I say your kid is probably NAIA, Division II, Division III, he may not go, because of this, I become the bad guy for telling the truth. I don't have coaches I can call and get a $5,000 offer for. I had a parent tell me recently that someone told him to pay him 10 or 15 grand for what was called the jump off. Oh, here's my Charleston White, the jump off offer. So let me help you parents that will watch this on Twitter and later on. There's no such thing as a jump off offer. Coaches aren't stupid anymore. That was 2004. That was 2005, where they looked on Twitter and they went, ooh, this kid got an offer from SC. We better jump on it. And they jumped on it. They don't have to do that now because they can go in the portal. Oh, I know it's hot. I know y'all on the phone. I know y'all, hey, man, he going in. I'm going in today. I'm letting you know. In recruiting 101, we got to get the kids the hard truth because you guys are not, you guys are don't understand. You become part of the depression and the mental health of these young men who are out here now questioning their ability and themselves about who they are, what they can do, because we created this lie with this jump off offer and this jump off, you know, we gonna get you going. Nah. And please don't call my phone and say, hey man, you gotta take that down, man, because no, I'm not. I'm Charleston White and recruiting today. Nah, don't do it. No coaches are looking at, there's a real signing debt. You're not gonna move a coach to give another kid an offer because he got this offer. It doesn't happen because he can go, I'm gonna look in the portal before I do that and let me check it out. It's truth. And a kid that gets to December now that has five paid for offers that he cannot commit to then says, I don't know if I even want to play anymore. And you contribute to it. And I can be upset about parents or people in the streets that call, and then let me just say it, people in the street that call black guys who are supposed to be role models and mentors in the neighborhood, I get mad at them for calling you or calling us handlers. You handlers handle animals. These are not animals. These are young men. These are young, you know, right? These are young men that are trying to, they have a dream. Don't kill their dream. Paint the picture. You can go NAIA, man. You can go Division III. You got great grades. You're a 3.5, 3.6, 3.7. There's some great merit money and some great academic money for you at the Division III level. You can play the game and love the game and let the game do some work for you. You may not make it to the end. I have and I'm going to drop it again. Asani Rufus, great story. Great high school athlete, Division I athlete. Didn't make it to the league. Told us his dream and goal was to make it to the NFL and play. He's not. He's the quality control guy for the San Francisco 49ers. He's still in the NFL, traveling and playing and doing what and coaching and doing what his goal was. We got to give the kids other alternatives. But there's a new signing day of some kids that got some fake stuff earlier in the year that we're coming up on, and those parents that pay for that, I want to know how that's going to work out for you. Because I'm tired of being the bad guy for saying, hey, have you ever checked out NAIA school? Hey, have you ever checked out a Division II school? You know, that's what you get tired of. So you coach it, so you handlers, whoever you are, if that's what you go by, or parents, you pay for it, so I can't get mad. You can't get mad at nobody else for getting what they're getting. But for me, it's when I come into the living room and you tell, and I do the Zoom meeting with the family, and I'm trying to really go through the process of recruiting and the time and what it is. And the dad goes, well, yeah, I just paid $7,000 for, and he's got Florida State and Miami and Oregon, but he can't commit to any of them. And we thought by doing that, it would cause other people to come. They still watch film, guys. They still go back and watch who you are. It doesn't just go away. You have to play. You have to show that you can compete at that level. That's my Charleston White for today, okay? Since this, but because it affects my business. It affects what we do. It's like a bad insurance guy or a bad used car salesman, the other used car salesman that tells you, yeah, you're going to probably need a water pump, but it's a good car. He becomes the bad guy because of the other guy. And it's sickening. I'm trying to be around, you know, 20 years in the business and maybe, you know, have somebody acquire it or give it to my son or somebody. And if not, you know, as it changes. So tired of that. All right. Get to the next thing. 2024 and 2025, 2026, 2027 kids, you need to get with somebody right away. 24s, you're on the clock. You've been on the clock. Coaches are talking to us now. They're already talking about the next class. This 2023 class is dwindling down. That's why you have to reevaluate your recruiting. That's why you have to look at what you're looking at and have real conversation. And what I will say to every parent, talk to your kid. Do your best to prepare your kid to leave California if they're talking about if they want to play football. Because if you're not being recruited by the 11, and we call it the 11 schools, Division I and Division I AA, and if it's 16, if it's Division III, if you're not being recruited by those schools in the state, you're probably, and if it's, that's football, you're probably not going to play in this area. You're going to play outside of that. And you got to mentally prepare. We got kids going away, and I will be honest as a service, I did not really had these conversations with parents like, is he ready to leave? I had a client tell me the other day, and he may be watching, that his son went to an area. Hey, it's predominantly, you know, most of your African-American athletes or kids at the school are going to be athletes. They're not going to be students. So they have to get acclimated to that if they're coming from the inner city of Los Angeles or, you know, inner city of Bakersfield. They're going to be in certain areas. One of the reasons why recruiting becomes very tough for California kids essentially only stay a year and a half at a school when they're coming from out of state. So we need to explain, yes, Lynette, the process of what's going on, how that's going to go in that direction. Are you ready for the snow? And let me give you guys a nugget what you talk to your kids about. Because when you go in August, it's beautiful. It's sunny outside. It's hot. It's cool. But you got to start talking about October, November, really January, February, when football is out and it's you and your student athlete is just going to class and maybe weightlifting and football. Ain't no games on Saturday. They got to get acclimated to where they are. So those become real questions. Those become real conversations you got to have with your kid. So when they get there, they don't go, yeah, this ain't fun no more. Wait, it ain't football year round or, you know, it ain't games year round. It's football year round. This is why I always would get into it with the Oregon coaches. People don't move to Eugene, Oregon just to be to Eugene, Oregon. Kids got enamored by Oregon and the Nike and all that. And they went, you know what? One of the coaches gave me a staggering statistic was, he said 60% or 70% of the time, man, we're never outside. We're always in buildings because it rains so much. Well, yeah, after a while, you get so much Nike stuff and you're there, that don't matter. You can't go outside because it's always raining and it's gloomy and you don't want to do that. That becomes depressing. That's a conversation you got to have with your kid. If your kid is really not an introvert and he's somebody that's, you know, he's outwardly social and likes to be out and, you know, I know they have, you know, but after the football game, if everybody go in and they, you know, they're in the house because it's raining and they ain't really doing a whole lot, it becomes mundane and boring and it's not something that, you know, so you got to look at those things. And that's why I used to be on Oregon so much, because I know Oregon was selling the Nike and the gold chair and the shoes and all that, because the reality is you gotta really have good conversations with guys about what they're doing and why they're doing it, you know, why they're going there. Talk to Akili. He went there from San Diego, right? He had to get his mind together to be in Oregon. You know, it's not just the shoes and the flash and the Pac-12, right? You gotta talk about a lot of the other stuff. Just as I talk to parents about UNLV. A lot of parents are like, oh, I don't want my kid in Vegas. Not that he's going to gamble, but there's a lot of other elements in Sin City that when your kid's not playing, there's some opportunities of other things that are out there. You've got to have those conversations, just like Idaho or Boise, Idaho and Montana. You know, you got some of the largest white supremacist groups in those places. You know, is your kid going to be okay? But make sure those are conversations you're having with coaches. What is it like when the season's not in? What do the kids do? Got to have real conversations with your kids about leaving California to play and what that's going to look like, or they'll be right back. Bottom line, they'll be back in a year, and then they'll be going to, you know, JC, and they don't want to, you know, maybe they want to quit. And that's what I said in the beginning of this whole broadcast is that a lot of kids are quitting because we're not managing expectation. We're not painting the right picture. And so I call this today the final stretch, the cold hard truth. Let's just be truthful with these young men. A lot of guys lost Friday night that'll never play football ever again. That was it. Their high school career meant that was it. But we have to help them from a mental health standpoint that life isn't over. It's not. You were more than an athlete. Thank you, Daniel Terry. You were more than an athlete. You're more than what we have put in you only this last 12 years since you were 7, 8 years old and held you back and all that. And if everything didn't work out right for you from that football perspective of D1, there's some other opportunities for you. And son, we love you and you're more than an athlete. We got to have that conversation. We got to have that because I'm telling you, kids are literally questioning themselves. My son told me something. I'll give you a true story. My son was telling me, he said, "Dad, man," he said, I said, what is it, man? He was playing DB at San Jose when he got there this year, and he's moved back to wide receiver, and then from wide receiver to running back and back to wide receiver, and this week he's gonna play some running back. And I had to find the good in it and say, "Hey, man, you're just so versatile. They're trying to figure out where to put you in, but you're playing, you're okay." I said, "I know you weren't playing a lot at DB because they were just trying to figure it out, but you had nickel, you got there a little late." I said, but you know, are you okay? What is it?" He's like, "Man, no, it just makes me think, you know, like question myself, man, like, can I play? Like, man, what do they see?" Those are things that happen. Those are real things that happen in their mind. Can you imagine now? And then I'm praying for y'all. Parents, go in, have a conversation. Your kid just lost on Friday night. They may not be playing. And they're sitting going, "I've been doing this since I was 6 years old playing flag. And there's a chance that I may not do this ever again. And I haven't done anything as an alternative but think that I'm going to go Division I and then from there go to the NFL. All of that's changing right now. And when your mind hasn't developed and been wrapped around adversity and trial, that becomes something very, very tough for them. And so we have to create real pictures and paint real pictures of what this is really about and give them those other alternatives. And paint those other alternatives as not consolation prizes, but the best option for you, which means if we say you're going to Division II or Division III or NAIA, it's not a consolation prize. It's just as much of a blessing as the Division I school. It's just as much of a blessing as the Division, you know, Power Five. Maybe George Fox University is your Alabama. Maybe you going to Harvey Mudd Claremont College is your Alabama. Maybe that is your Pac-12. But you got to embrace it. And if we don't teach our kids to embrace that, then they walk around feeling inadequate and that they could have got something better. I'm hearing those things, and it really is a lack of gratitude because people are like, "Oh, well, he just going to go to this little school and then he going to try to leave and transfer from there." No, embrace that school. There's people, the biggest thing about college that I've learned that college is about, the biggest thing about what college is about is networking. It's networking. It's making sure you may be the next owner of the new Google at your college. It may not be at SC. It may be at some small school. You don't know. And if you're not creating those conversations with your kid and letting them know that that's the big part, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because they can go to school and then have a, you know, the biggest thing I do not like, and me and Daniel Terry, we talk about this, is that when you ask a kid right now, what do you really want to major in? And they tell you they do not know. What do you want to do when you finish? I do not know. And that brings me to my next point, and that is because plan A is really plan B. Because plan A is really plan B. Their plan A is to make it to the NFL. That's plan B. Talk to a kid. Say, hey, what do you want to do? I talk to kids all the time, and I get the same response just like this. So, man, what do you want to do when you go to school? Well, if I don't make it to the NFL, I want to be a fireman. If I don't make it to the NFL, so NFL is plan A. Plan B is to be the fire. We got to reverse that, man. You mean you're going to be a fireman with the hopes of making it to the NFL, but I'm going to be a fire. I'm going to be a lawyer. If I go to the league, that's cool, but I'm still going to be a lawyer. We got to create that. Kids don't know. They don't. They don't have it because we're not having that conversation. We're watching the draft. We're not reading law books. We're watching the NBA and the NFL draft. We're not saying, here's what you need to be doing to set up your nonprofit while you're in school. Here's what you need to be doing while you over here playing D2. You need to be, you know, trying to figure out what, you know, who's who. Who goes to your campus? Who's on your campus? Who went to your school? Who owns major companies that went? Every college across the country has somebody that's going into their, that went to their school, that is some type of philanthropist that owns companies and they're doing a number of different things. You need to connect your kid when you go to those schools, at every school. I don't care if it's NAIA, D3, whatever it is, they have somebody. Because plan A is NFL when it should be plan. That's plan B, man. That's plan B. Okay? So, where we are right now, give you guys some real recruiting stuff because I've been on a box. And that is, we are at November 9th. In about 1 month, they are going to, there's three more games in college football, four for some people. Maybe five if you're in the conference championship, somewhere between there, between three and five. There are going to be coaches changes. So let me give you guys this. ASU, Colorado, South Florida, Wisconsin, those schools right now don't have coaches. There are going to be more coaching changes. So coaching changes, 1AA. Is there an outside chance that those schools may recruit Division I guys, best players available? But for the most part, most of those schools are going to, depending on the timeline of them getting a coach. Here's an example. If a school goes to the Mountain West Championship and they win that game, that Mountain West Championship is December 3rd. If that coach decides to take a job at another school, he and his staff won't get there. They may get there right before signing day, which is December 19th, 20th, somewhere in there, the week before Christmas. They will then look in the portal to try to help that school, that team become better immediately January. And by February signing date, that school will then go start looking at JC high school players, best players available. So is there an outside chance for a 23 to get it? Yeah, but you got to watch what coaches are getting jobs and where they're getting jobs at and how that's going to work. So there's your window in that time, but you're still going up against portal guys. Who's going to get in the portal? The portal will open right around that time, December 3rd to December 10th, the following Monday after bowl selection. The portal is going to open for 45 days. Parents, if that's what you're looking at, what you shouldn't be doing in between that time You shouldn't be shunning any Division II NAIA schools. You should be taking trips, keeping your name out in the industry. You should be keeping your name out there, making sure that coaches know that you are available. Again, I saw an 8-minute huddle. One of my clients just sent them a message, hey, cut that down. Even though he's a quarterback, cut that down to about 4.5 minutes as a quarterback. Everybody else, 3.5 minutes. Do not, I don't care if it's your senior film and you're still, if it's your senior film and you're trying to get out, please don't put a 10-minute video up. They're not going to watch it. You've got to put your stuff out there. And here's another key. Everybody likes somebody that somebody else likes. It happens in dating. It happens in recruiting. It happens in when you go get a job. You were looking for a job. You couldn't find them. As soon as you got a job, jobs start calling. It happens. Everybody likes somebody that somebody else likes. So if you are being courted and people are really trying to offer you NAIA and you won't post it because I have kids, it's like, I ain't posting that, ungrateful. You are missing the opportunity for another coach to go, what did I miss? He got an offer from them. I saw somebody else. NAIA schools are offering. Man, maybe we need to look at this dude one more time. Because somebody else has seen something that this coach may say, I missed. So you should be posting smaller colleges, D3, roster spots. All those things give your name value. And people buy value. He must be a valuable guy because look at these schools, look at these other teams that have offered him. But if you don't post that, okay, it's all right. You're a younger guy, a 24. You should be posting. You took a week off, right back in the gym. You should have posts on Twitter that are like, hey, took a week off, but I'm back in the lab, getting ready for next year, looking, getting ready for camp season and coaches to come see that I'm a Division I guy. Your caption, you have to sell yourself. And I will tell you guys right now, with Elon Musk buying Twitter, there's been some talks of Twitter becoming a subscribe, pay for service. And that would really probably throw a lot of people off. Please look at that closely, because if that happens, 92% of college coaches are on Twitter. And if they decide that they're not going to pay and he makes it a pay thing, then Instagram and TikTok become the number one and number two recruiting spots for high school athletes. So I want you to understand that. That is that's something that you probably don't want to do. Wow. I guess your boy don't like Elon Musk, because he my stuff froze up when I said his name. Well, I was just saying. The Twitter guy is what I should say. Okay. But you want to make sure that you're watching that very, very closely, because that has a lot to do with recruiting on Twitter and the marketing of your online presence. My clients know when we talk about online presence, we're talking about making sure 4 times a week, twice a day, that your name is being mentioned on one of these social media platforms as a student athlete and what you're doing, okay? That has to be going on, because that's going to help coaches know who you are and what's going on. Younger guys, 25, 26, classes of 25 and 26, you need to be doing the same thing. You need to make sure that's going on. Let me kill the elephant in the room right now about multiple sports, because I saw that on Sports Unlimited page about guys playing multiple sports. Guys, if you're a football player and you don't play basketball, and I'm going to go back to basketball. If you're a football player and you're a freshman and you live in Bakersfield, let me talk to my area first. If you're playing basketball and you're not in the weight room, if you saw the freshmen at Los Alamitos when you played Los Al this year, and they had 16 freshmen, something like that, playing varsity football, yes, they were holdbacks, but they only play football, run track, and train. That's what they do. So parents, understand what you're up against in my area in recruiting. When I just told you only 1.6% of the kids are going to get a scholarship, and you go play basketball and you miss camps and you're not lifting weights and you're not doing speed training and you're not doing those things, and somebody else is, and you go, well, my stats were better. These are the things I hear. My stats were better, and he's better than him, and I know he can play. He has not been seen by the same people. So coming up, U.S. Army camp in San Antonio. Under Armour camp will be January, February. Rivals will be next gen camps. While they're doing those camps, that their names and times can be put in front of coaches, and you're playing basketball, a sport that you're saying you will not play in college, then you're being pushed behind. Just the reality of it. Am I telling you not to play? No, I think if you're a ninth grader, you want to play basketball, go play. But if you're a junior going into your senior year and football is going to be your sport, you need to be playing football, running track. If you live in Bakersfield, you need to play football, running track, probably playing 7-on-7, because we have to get our names out there, because this is a flyover zone, period. You can believe me, you don't have to. Look at the recruiting right now. Kizzy, Tybo, Bucky, another Liberty kid. We got four kids in town, 23 high schools, four or five kids getting recruited. You gonna tell me you can go play basketball, baseball, play soccer, and go do all this other stuff and think that a coach is gonna just, you know, you guys listen to these guys and say, oh, if you're good, they'll find you. It's so many kids. You gotta have your name out there. Stuff has to happen. And you can keep listening to these coaches, but the numbers don't lie. You can listen to these high school coaches that tell you, oh, don't listen to that guy. He wants to take credit for this. He wants to, don't do that. Okay, the numbers don't lie. Four kids. And I usually work with one or two of them. Last year, five or six kids. I worked with three or four or five of them. It was more of them. It was really like 9 to 13 placed. So I'm telling you again, if you're going to play basketball, you might want to be a basketball player in 9th, 10th grade. But, you know, 9th grade, by the time you get to 10th grade, what you're up against is in L.A., Southern Cal, since we're here, what you're up against is you're being recruited by the state, not the bubble. The bubble of Bakersfield, you're not being recruited by the bubble, just in the bubble. You're being recruited by every kid in California. Then every kid in California versus every kid in Northern Cal, Southern Cal, and Southern Cal all the way up to San Diego. So if you don't think that, if you think you can just go play and miss camps and don't do this because coach said he going to do this and that, ask him what he's been doing thus far. Because even your top schools in the area are only sending one kid, if two, and then ask them what did they do outside of just high school football. Guaranteed they didn't just do that. Or unless they're a legacy, dad played in the NFL, some of that kind of stuff. But other than that, any of these other guys, they do everything that has to do with football. They understand their social media site. They get it. Because what you're up against is a double holdback or a holdback. A kid that's 16 in the 9th grade, who now is almost 19, turning 20 in the 12th grade, who's bigger, stronger than you, who just turned 17 or maybe 18. Okay? So at the end of the day, that's the reality of what you're dealing with. And so if you don't do, because in 2 weeks or so after Thanksgiving, I'm going to drop the Pro Way thing, and hey, Pro Way this year, top team, absolutely free. I'm going to see how many people come out. They don't come out, it's okay. I'll go visit my kids in college and have a great time. It's just going to be on you. Then you can go and go and get and go deal with whatever else. That's another story. But at the end of the day, if you're going to play a multiple sport, you better look at what you're going to do if you're a junior. And you're not getting the recruiting you want, you can't miss Rivals, Under Armour, a next gen camp, a national preps camp. You can't miss any of that stuff and think that you're going to all of a sudden it's going to be okay as a junior going into your senior year. And as a sophomore, the other side is 90-something percent of your sophomores in SoCal play varsity football. They don't play, that's why they don't have a lot of freshman teams. They play freshmen, they go to varsity. They're 10th grade, three-year varsity starters. That's why coaches look at them. They got 3 years of varsity film. Nobody, except where I live right now, plays JV football. It just don't happen. Your better players are playing varsity. And some of these coaches in the area are stifling kids by putting them on JV because, well, he's just kind of not ready. Then you only have, if you're a junior playing JV and then you got a senior year and you come to the service, I'm going to tell you right out the gate, unless you are a super measurable size kid and you play at a powerhouse, and you play JV, the likelihood of you getting a Division I scholarship is unlikely. It's really tough. You got 1 year of film versus a kid in SoCal that has 3 years of film on varsity from a sophomore. Because that's who you, come on. Parents, that's the conversations you need to be having. That's the reality, playing JV as a junior. Because the kids that you're playing, that are playing varsity are playing since they were sophomore. Okay? So, not telling kids not to play multiple sports, but they really need to match. Football and track, yeah. Football and wrestling, yeah. Football and basketball, question, what year am I? It's going to be real. What year am I? If I'm a junior going into my senior year, woo, tough. I got to have that conversation with my client tonight or today. I'm surely, if his dad's watching, he knows what I'm talking about. He's a top recruit. I said he would be the top recruit in this area. He's a basketball guy, but I'm telling you right now, he should be a basketball guy part-time if he wants to get into the double digits of recruiting. Because if he's not seen enough and he's on the basketball court, it's not going to happen. And if you're a non-measurable guy in your junior year, 5'10 corner playing point guard, and you miss a bunch of camps and you just like playing for your high school basketball team, I get it. It's just during these Christmas tournaments and all this stuff that you're going to be involved in, just make sure that you're doing enough both wise. If you're a junior had this, or a freshman had this conversation with a head coach today, you're missing weight room time. And every time you go run up and down the basketball court, you lose weight and muscle. And so you're a ninth grader trying to make varsity as a 10th grader. You have to put back on the muscle that you just left. And so you're behind. And so it's going to be really tough if you're not doing something extra. So we just put in something extra for you to be able to come and lift weights at least 3 times a week. So you don't lose that, because who you're playing against and what you're playing against is going to be pretty tough because they're playing football. I saw somebody say, these kids are specializing too soon. I get what you're saying. I'm not talking about a 9-year-old. I'm not talking about a 12-year-old. I'm talking about a sophomore, junior, freshman in high school who says they want to play at a high level Division I football. To go play basketball, it's not junior high anymore. You're not just getting on every team at the school just to play. And I know you single mothers, I hear this quite often. I just want to keep him busy. I get it. Get a book. Keep him busy trying to understand what his major is. Because while he's playing in all those sports, he still don't know what he wants to do when he gets to college. And then he hasn't understood what sport he want to play. And again, OG Bobby Johnson, you said it a couple of weeks ago. If you are 6'2", and you're like, he's tall to you. That's a short basketball player. He might want to play football. Especially if he play ball. That's a great size for a DB. It's a great size for a wide receiver. Great size. Yeah, get a book. For sure. So, that's my soapbox, man. I was on my Charleston White. I told you guys, I said what I said. Want to open it up for questions right now. If you have a question, please type it in the feed. I will answer any of those questions. I'm not here to really ask, who going to win this, who going to win that. I'm here, if you have a recruiting question, if you are, I will tell you parents right now, one of the things that I will say to you, please go fill out the FAFSA. If you do not know if you're going to qualify for Pell Grant, That is the first part of what is going to really help you on the smaller level schools, Division II, one AA, Division II, Division III, NAIA, on where monies are going to be. If you haven't applied, sit down with somebody and pick out five schools. Right now, applying doesn't cost you anything. Get your kid and apply to some of these schools. If you apply, write down the five schools and you have a question for me, I will help you in that, you know, who the coaches are you should be following, who you should contact if you apply. I will tell you this, and I'll answer your question in a second, Alan. Walk-ons are not the same as they were 2 years ago. Recruiting has changed. A walk-on spot is coveted and is treated like, you know what, this is a Division I guy. He does have a real opportunity. So if you are a parent that has money set aside and you want to walk on, you got to apply to a school. It's easier for a guy like me, if you're working with a service, for me to call a coach and say, he's already applied. He's already got in. He's going to be on campus, coach. It's a lot easier for me to say, you're getting a kid this year for absolutely free. He just wants to get a preferred walk-on spot and see if, you know, he can really work his way up to get gaining a scholarship. That is a whole lot easier than, no, we ain't applied yet, but his uncle knows somebody, blah, blah, blah. That ain't working. Apply to school, get a contingent acceptance or whatever, a pre-acceptance, say, oh, he's accepted based upon the contingency of him graduating high school. He's got into Fresno State or San Jose or Nevada. And then we can pick up the phone. And that makes that conversation a little easier. Because the first thing a college coach says to me is, hey, DeJean, has he applied yet? If I'm talking preferred walk-on, has he applied? No. Well, have him apply and then call me back. That's time. Time goes by. And guess what? Somebody else picks up. Hey, coach, what's going on? I got a kid that wants to be a preferred walk-on. Has he applied? Yeah, man, he already got his acceptance. He's accepted. All right, send me the film and let's go over it, and I'll get back with you in a day. Now you're behind that kid. So some of this stuff you should have been having conversations about, even as you saw recruiting not happening. This is the benefit of being with a service. I told you, go ahead and apply first so we can work the back end so we don't lose that time in between. And that's just the reality of the walk-on betting on yourself. You really feel somebody missed your kid, the pandemic, all that stuff. We're getting past that, but there's still some pandemic stuff still floating around. Coaches didn't get out, didn't see your kid, didn't play like he should have hit the pandemic year, whatever it may be. There may be some options. But again, I always tell you, the key is finding the right school. So it can't be, can he walk on at SC or Notre Dame? Hey, maybe a walk-on at a Division I AA because he has a better opportunity of winning a scholarship in the spring. Because scholarship's not going to be won in the fall. It's going to be won around the spring. So it's going to be a whole year of them watching a student go to class, them watching the student come to practice even when he's not playing, them watching the student having the right attitude. Then we get back around to the spring. He goes in there. He knows the stuff. He's battling. Boom, we give him a scholarship. Or he plays in a season because numbers are low and he gets the game-winning fumble. Or I watched the kicker kick the game-winning field goal and Jay Norvell gives him a scholarship right after the game and says, hey, you're not a walk-on anymore. You got a scholarship. We've seen Deion Sanders say, hey, get your mom, bring her in here. Don't say nothing. Yeah, man, you got a scholarship. It happens. But you got to be in the position early to make sure that you're doing the things that'll help you out. And that is, you've already applied. You're not sitting back going, well, if they say something, I'll go apply. Nah, you have way more leverage as a student that's already got in school versus somebody who hasn't gotten in school, you know, who hasn't applied, okay? And Alan said, should middle schoolers specialize or is that too early? Well, a couple of things about that question, it goes like, right, if you 6'5" and you married a 5'4", 5'2" lady and you watching your kid, he hasn't had a growth spurt, he plays quarterback. I would tell you, start letting that kid play quarterback, DB, wide receiver. Don't make him specialize yet because the likelihood of him growing is very unlikely, right? You know, is he going to be a measurable guy? Is he going to be like that, 6'5"? Right? If he got a sister, if she got the height already, he might be the run of the group. So at the end of the day, he got to play in some other play some other stuff, right? If he's a 5'10 guy, or you're a 5'10 guy, one of the things I will give an example, always safe to be at my house, I realized that the game was changing as I was coming out of youth football with my son. He played running back, did a lot of great things at running back. But I realized he was small for a college running back, but he was perfect size for a college slot. So we start working at wide receiver a lot because the game was changing. I understood he's got a better opportunity probably at wideout because they like these other backs. Now it switched back to that smaller back that can be motioned out into the slot. So if you're a running back, I would say, yeah, you got to look at it by position, middle school, meaning 6th, 7th grade. You got to really kind of look at it. Then, hey, the average DB is going to be about 5'10", 5'11", you know, 5'8", somewhere in there, 5'9". You can go get a DB spot, a nickel spot. So play some DB. Don't specialize at 5'8", 5'9", as a quarterback and then be pissed off at the world because your kid's not getting recruited and you're like, he won all these games, he's better than this kid. Yeah, because he's an athlete. But there is a prototype. There is a measurable size that they like to recruit. And that's just the reality of recruiting, if that's what it is. So I wouldn't specialize too early, but I'd definitely be watching growth and what it is. And really, and I'm only saying that from the skill position of a quarterback, right? Because it happens. You know, you have guys that play quarterback and you're waiting for that growth. You're waiting for it to happen, but you're like, okay, it's not. And that's all that kid has played. Quite funny, I was listening to Bryce talk about how he played DB and he was a sure tackler and that. So let you know that Craig had him playing more than just quarterback while he was on, you know, a younger age, but quarterback was what he wanted to play. He grew. The position now is spread, read option, quick release. So you can be a 5'11", 6 feet quarterback, but you got to have some other intangibles. Like, he's very smart. He's got a quick release. He understands, again, Kyler Murray, super fast, flat out winner, got an arm, short guy. But, you know, those are far and in between. You look at the average size, it'd be 6'2", six, you know, across the board. So, yeah, good question. Any other questions? And again, I'm not the end all, know all, be all, but I tell you, I study this and I do my best to be able to articulate my business and what we do and why we do what we do. So, definitely check out California Recruits if you are somebody. We are next Thursday or this Thursday at 6:30. If you leave your email, we are having our free recruiting seminar where I go over everything that we do in our business and we go from there. Sometimes coaches will pigeonhole a quarterback and not look at him for other positions, even though he is an athlete. Absolutely. And so it's up to that kid as well. So Shauna, you and I know, that's it. You do sometimes have to just say, hey, the kid has to say, hey, I want to be on the field. And I'll be honest, as a freshman, again, using my kid, you're welcome, Elizabeth. Thank you. I hope everything's going well for you as well. Thank you, Alan. But a kid has to say, I want to be on the field. I'll go again with my son, sharing with him. I said, can I share with you how to get on the field as a freshman? And he said, yeah. I said, this is how you get on the field as a freshman, special teams. I don't care how good you were. I don't care how many stars you had. If you want to play as a freshman and you go be the gunner on kick return and you're going to travel, you're going to play, you're going to do what you need to do. And that's it. David Perry asked a great question. My take on prep schools. My take on prep schools is if the prep school has been around for a very, very long time, I got in a situation, I will not hesitate to say I sent a player, one, and I gave the money back because he used my service and I thought it was really the way the guy came at me, he got me. I'm not blaming anybody. I sent the kid to Sycamore last year. When they got the school of Sycamore. And kid could really, really play. He was a good wide receiver. And the school hadn't been around. I really just, you know, kind of took the word of the coach and having a conversation. And I led the kid there. And it wasn't a good situation. So Hargrave Academy, New Hampton, if it's a school on the East Coast, you want to make sure that you are, that the school's been around. If they like your kid, you want to know the foundation of the school. And then again, if it's a prep school that has the fifth year and they only can take so many and you're one of the so many and it's been around, great. From a recruiting perspective, it's tough because if you're on the East Coast and you're there and they see California, they're still going to question, do you really want to be here? Now, you've already shown them that you would go to school on the East Coast at a prep school, so why wouldn't you? But it hasn't, I haven't seen it work great. I do work with one out of Texas, been around. I want to say Jerry Jones or somebody is a partner. So the financial part is there, but you want to make sure the academia is there. That's the big part. Can my kid transfer? Is the school going to be looked at as a good school? So my take on it is the foundation of the school, and it has to have been there. If it's got a military academy attached to it, it's been around, maybe a very good school. My nephew went to one. And then from there, he went on over to Morehouse. So very good situation, I think, if you got to do your research and really dig in it. I do know New Hampton and some of the schools in Maine and Connecticut, but your kid also has to be ready to do that. Different world on the East Coast for them as well. So, David, great, great question. Cortez, football's cool, but I'm trying to get my daughter a softball scholarship. So club, two things. If she plays club, she plays good club. There's some good club here. I have a softball client, Bella Estrada, one of the best softball players in Bakersfield. She goes to Liberty, and we're working on some schools. It's not all about D1 with that. I work with friends. I work with Bethel. I work with Concordia and some of the schools around. Usually young ladies have great grades, and we don't have a problem with them being able to get in school. So club softball and then skills videos. I have a production team. They'll come out and do a skills video. Keith Fingers, Patrick Haynes, great guys. They know what we're looking for from a skills video standpoint. You probably want to make a skills video as soon as possible. If she's in high school, maybe a 9th, 10th grader. If she's a pitcher, if she's a whatever position, you want to get that skills video. And we need to start getting that skills video in front of these coaches along with her schedule with club. Softball, volleyball, I do all those sports. Softball and volleyball on the club level, it's tough because you play, they really don't look at your high school, it's your club team. Some club coaches are working with a lot of schools, some club coaches are not. I am the liaison for a club team out of Orange County. I do a lot of those schools, a lot of NAIA, their top Division I players don't need my service. It's their smaller libero or somebody else that is going to, we're really looking for the right fit of a school for them from a softball, volleyball level. So you absolutely want to do that. Yeah. Yeah. So she plays with Bella at Liberty. Is she on Bella's team? Bella's my client. I work with Bella. What's up with HBCUs these days? Or are they coming around Cali? Yes, they are. So the biggest question about with HBCUs, what you have to understand is the financial piece. So I hear parents tell me this all the time. I would love for him to go to HBCU. For you guys that don't know, historical Black college, you know, or university, they would love for that to happen. Couple of things. It is always easier for HBCU to get a local in-state student because they have, like, our Pell Grant, they have their grant as well. And some of those HBCUs on a year-to-year basis is only going to be in-state $8,000 to $12,000, maybe $10,000. So if they get a $6,000 Pell Grant or $7,000, they don't really pay for school. So if I can get 35, 40% of my team, 50% of my team, or 60% of my team from in-state, I'm not coming to California to have to almost now out-of-state fees, pay for a guy that's going to take almost two scholarships away from me that I can get in-state. So it really is really dependent on which schools there are. Howard University, schools that have money. I can tell you from my study, schools that have money. Jackson has money. Deion has done a phenomenal job. What he's trying to do with all the other schools is make sure they have corporate dollar and dollar money that they're attractive and that they can go out and get other guys. But it's pretty tough when you look at those smaller schools like Lane College. When you look at Morgan State and some of these other schools that have had high-powered coaches like Tyrone Wheatley that was at Morgan State and Eddie George at Tennessee State, they have to do some things. But if you are a student athlete that's a 3.0 or better, you're going to be able to get into those schools. You're going to get some financial aid money. You may get some academic money. It makes it easier for the football coach. The biggest thing I will tell you and can tell you to do is apply. Then once you apply, then we can get on the phone. But there's a number of historical Black colleges that we got to really look at, you know, and see where they are financially. My buddy coach was at Delaware State, didn't have a lot of money. So they're going to go the JC route. The JC route because not only is it an older kid, it's only a two-year deal. They don't have to spend the same amount of money as they would for a high school guy. So, and if you're looking at a Black college like that, you may want to go to a JC in the South, you know, maybe somewhere else where they're pulling guys. I do something with my clients and I tell you parents, you can do it. Go pull some rosters, just pull it up and do a roster search. The roster will tell you percentage wise where they're getting most of these guys from. And so by doing so, you'll be able to say, I go on and I go, how many California kids they got? Man, they only got two. Then I look and I go, oh, they didn't come out of high school. They went to JC somewhere. They went here. They were bounced back from here. But if you don't see a large number of California kids and it doesn't have their high school and it has a junior college and their high school, that means they went to junior college first and then they went there, then you can see that the pattern of their recruiting is already done based upon how you look at the roster. The pattern of what they do is already on the roster. And so you can kind of see and say, okay, you don't have a whole lot of California guys, right? Yeah, has to be done. Have to be able to look at those rosters and do that because when you do that, it'll kind of give you a gauge, right? One of the questions I get quite often is, why do I send so many kids to Kansas? And I want to share this. The KCAC in Kansas has the best packages they can give a California kid, and especially a kid that is a full Pell Grant kid. A kid that is a full Pell Grant kid, if you get 6550 or 6700 Pell Grant, most, if not all their schools will match that with an additional $1,000. So that means a kid coming into their school automatically already has $7,000. Fringe University matches at $1,000 plus $8. So they give $1,800 on top of that $6. So it's like getting $2,000 more. So a school that's $40,000, essentially 40, let's say the number is 40 a year, 20 a semester. That student athlete comes in with $8,000 out the gate from Fringe University, has already dropped the school to 32. If they have a 3.0 or better, they're going to get anywhere from $10,000 to $12,000 more of academic money. So if they get 12, they're at the, they got the first semester paid $20,000, and then football will add their money, and it just depends on what tier athlete they feel you are. If you're a top tier guy, they can give you 15, and now you're at 35. Is there money left over? Yeah, there's $5,000. So for a parent that says, okay, I'll take the plus loan, 5,000 times four is 20,000. I'd rather owe $20,000 at the end of 4 years than to owe $250,000 trying to be a walk-on somewhere. I'll go play. But that's somebody sitting down and doing the whole process and saying, okay, this is what they're going to get. And that's what we our average was last year, about $32,000, $33,000 a year we were able to get student athletes from NAIA schools, as opposed to somebody saying, I'm going to walk on, I'm going to go to JC, I gray shirted, I red shirted, I did play, I'm mad, I'm going to a new JC now, and I'm still at home, and when I look up, my buddy's playing at the NAIA school, is in his second year, he's all conference, he's on his second year, he went to summer school, he's a year and a half from his degree, and I'm still trying to figure it out at the local junior college. Not here, not going to happen. It's not what happened. Can't do it. Go play. Go play. All right. Any more questions? Any more questions? Cortez, give me a call, brother. Give me a call. Love to help you. You're my guy. You are. Go play. Man, my big brother's on here. How you doing, man? Did your lights come in? You did not call me and tell me if they came in or not so I can come see you. Come help you out. So just to recap today, man, I want to thank everybody for joining us on Recruiting 101. I'll call you when I get out of here. I want to thank everybody for joining us in Recruiting 101. I really appreciate you guys coming on. If you have an eighth grader going into high school, now is the time to start thinking if that's what they want to do is play at the next level. I did not say Division I. I didn't say Division II. I said at the next level, which is college football. This is recorded. It will stay on for about 30 days. If not, going over to Anchor on Spotify, and we will, it's on Spotify. It's my name, Dejon Jernigan, Recruiting 101 on Anchor and Apple as a podcast. We'll definitely have you guys listen in. Share it with somebody. There are too many parents that are out there battling and going through the whole process. And truly, guys, for the amount of money that we charge, the information is golden and it will save you a lot of money. I will tell you, you may spend some money on the upfront, but it will save you some money on the back end, and it will save you some pain, because I understand as a parent looking into your kid's eyes and saying, man, he really wanted this and he's played for a long time, but we got to manage expectations. So God bless you. Have an awesome day, and I will get back with you next time.